It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And welcome.
Sorry.
The real bitch is I could have actually continued because they can't hear you on my end.
Oh, so it's that's just, true. Oh, yeah. That's great. I can be as noisy as I want.
Can be.
Hello and welcome to Please Won't You Shut Up, a Star Trek Picard podcast. I am your girlfriend who lives in Canada, Mickey Alexa.
Hello, cats and kittens. I'm Blake.
And I'm your ginger sunburn victim, Brent.
There you go.
And this is a spoiler-free podcast for any episode after the episode we are talking about. So despite having seen every episode ahead, we will not be jumping forward on the timeline and ruining the fun. Because today we are talking about Absolute Candor. Again, because I lost the file.
But before we do this, before we jump into this, so you were unaware that Shitty Daystrom is a thing.
I had never heard of this.
Okay, so you must know about the Daystrom Institute subreddit.
Oh, well, yes, and naturally. And, like, I assumed, like, okay, it's this wonderful, heady place of uber nerding. And it is. It's really lovely.
Mm-hmm. So, of course, there's a shitty version of that.
A shitty version.
Like, yeah. Not monitored.
Oh, anything, no, it's moderated, and it's written. Just it just encourages complete horseshit. Yeah. So it's Shitty Daystrom is the subreddit. And it's usually, there's a lot of trash, but there's a lot of hilariousness on it. But I think I read my favorite one I've ever read recently, and it was The Inner Light. You remember? Okay, you know which one, The Inner Light, of course. Yeah. So The Inner Light probe was only supposed to teach people how to play the flute. It just took Picard a really long time to learn it.
It built the entire simulation around this fucking flute lesson.
It's so good.
It's one stubborn man learning the flute.
That was by Tree Fox. I can't take any credit for that, but that made me laugh really hard. And I was just very excited when we were about to sit down and record this, and you told me you were not familiar with Shitty Daystrom at all, let alone that one. So,
Well, clearly after this, I'm going to have to run to that.
Oh, enjoy. Have fun down the rabbit hole.
Speaking of down the rabbit hole, we begin in a flashback 15 years ago. Ooh. And Picard is on a planet called Vashti, where he is helping to resettle Romulan refugees of the Hobus Star explosion. And he's everyone's happy, everyone loves him, and he's hanging out with this little kid, and the little kid lives with these nuns called the Kawat Milat. And Picard clearly has this, like, great father-son kind of relationship with the kid. He reads him Three Musketeers, shows him how to fence.
Which is weird. Like, he's never bonded with a kid.
Well, like, I think he's been looking for a kid to bond with ever since his nephew burned to death.
Oh,
yeah.
Rough. Yeah, that's probably true.
I'm sorry, but I watched Generations last week, and it's like, oh, right.
We watched Generations just recently, too.
Yep.
It's almost like we're stuck indoors under a quarantine and have been watching everything.
We went back to TOS movies.
Oh my god! Oh no, I watched. I literally. It's funny. We should have all watched them together because we all went over every single fucking movie separately. I sat through Insurrections.
Have you done the Netflix thing yet, where you can like tandem watch the same thing and you can comment on it through Netflix while you're watching it?
No, but I think we've just found a very important tool in our arsenal.
I haven't done this yet either, and we need to do like. All the Star Trek series are on there.
All the Star Trek. Animated. Star Trek. Actually, no.
I've never watched most of the animated series. I've caught a couple episodes.
The cat parts of the
I wish there was a video on this podcast now, because your face just lost it a little there at that.
Well, actually, we should probably start doing that. We'll start that after the Picard stuff, so that's thematically... You know, like when we start doing the episode by episode in the movies, we'll start actually recording instead of the last two episodes.
Oh, at the end of episode 10's recap, which will definitely come many episodes after this one, not directly after, we should talk a little about what we have planned for some of the future Star Trek nonsense on this podcast, because I'm very excited.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We have many amazing ideas. Mm-hmm. That are going to go in horrible, horrible places. One of which I'm gonna tease right now. We're gonna watch the episode of Star Trek: The Animated Series where Spock is cloned. The clones are turned into giants. The giants are specifically created to become a galactic police force of giant Spocks. That's in canon. That is in canon.
Who owns this police force? Who operates this police force? This is ridiculous.
One of those mysterious all-powerful beings that Q was actually meant to satirize.
Okay. Huh.
Yeah.
That sounds like a horrible idea, but all right.
Yeah, yeah. But speaking of other horrible ideas, Picard's chilling on Vashti. Everything's great. Smiles abound. Mm. And he gets the message that Mars has been blowed up.
That bothered me.
His face dropped.
Yeah.
That bothered me because the timeline doesn't line up with the mini episode.
It really doesn't. Yeah, like he was available for comment immediately.
He was basically the View on the mini episode.
Well,
like
no, on as it no, on Mars, it wasn't him talking. It was his face. Like it was like
yeah, but they reached him
comment.
For a quote.
Wait, they had a comment set.
When did that happen? Like he got back on his ship and rocketed away from like the neutral zone or whatever.
No, somebody
the hell
called
he was.
Out. Somebody called out. Said, and some hey, reporter hey, calls Rafi Musica. Hey. What is Picard going to say about this?
No, because they quoted
reaction.
Picard directly.
Yeah, like, no, it's a direct
says.
Quote.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's called shitty writing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's called the mini-sodes because... don't really count.
Yeah, yeah. The mini-sodes are there for promotional content. If you're looking too far into it, you got pain coming.
Wait a minute. Are you implying that Star Trek fans would look too far into something?
No.
Would we pick something apart unnecessarily?
No. Probably.
Never heard of
Maybe.
Such a thing.
Now that we're done digressing, doing exactly that.
Back to the present, and Rafi interrupts some light flirtations between Rios and Girardi on the bridge of La Serena, talking about books. Picard has changed because Picard has changed their heading from Free Cloud, where they thought they were going, to Vashti, and without telling anyone, because he's an arrogant asshole.
We're just gonna do this.
Yeah. Did he do that himself, or did he just have Rios do that? Because he doesn't know how to do that, right?
It happens off screen. All right, no bullshit. Captain Picard, Jean-Luc Picard, doesn't know how to change. The heading on a starship. Bullshit.
It's been a while.
He's been retired for a bit.
He could easily maybe his driver's license has lapsed and they have to go retesting at a certain age in the Federation.
When's the last time your parent used a piece of technology they hadn't used in 10 years?
Wait a minute. When did he ever drive the Enterprise on TNG? He always had people driving it for him.
Yeah, no, but he was trained as a bridge officer, which means he knows how to fly a starship, a Federation starship.
He's got a goddamn maneuver.
Human star trip.
In his prime,
he's got a goddamn maneuver.
I don't care what your life expectancy is as a human in the Federation. I'm sure it's a little better than it is nowadays for any human. But he's in his 90s. You can't tell me he flies as good as he used to.
90s in Star Trek is middle age.
No, that's wild. Really?
Bones died when he was 170-something.
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah. That's fun. Yeah. I knew the life expectancy had gone up. Because,
well,
yeah.
Like, it's just everything is cellularly regenerated.
Apparently you can have a baby super late in life, too, because Keiko's mother turned 100 when Keiko was, like, 20.
Yeah. No, it gets really fucked up. But I think, like, after about 100, you more or less spend the, like, another 80 years as this, like, shambling husk.
That sounds just lovely.
Yeah, this is life. How wonderful.
That makes that planet that whacks people at 65 all the more grim. Like, and that was already grim. That's a low bar.
But also think how old, just how ridiculously old the people in Insurrection must actually be.
Look at Guinan. She's fucking old as Sin itself.
Oh, you
Sin
mean
itself.
Yes, the old stretch, the stretchables from Insurrection, yes.
Stretchy face.
Oh,
you know,
so
the guy
gross.
The guy who killed Mozart.
Huh?
What? You do? Oh my god, man. The villain in Insurrection is the same guy who played Salieri.
Admiral Davati, that guy?
No, not that guy. The stretchy face.
Really?
That's F. Murray Abraham.
Huh.
Yeah, I know, right? It's so weird. It's kind of like Raul Julia in the Street Fighter movie, where it's just like, you're a fantastic actor. This is a piece of shit.
Speaking of... Kate Mulgrew and Rene Aubergenois in the same scene together on the most garbage of all shows, Mrs. Columbo.
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
Yes, they share a scene together.
Yep.
We might have to add to our eventual concepts in.
And I think he's a French teacher.
What?
Oh God,
is he? Okay.
He's teaching French to her.
Oh, okay. Sorry. What?
We'll have to add to our to be announced lineup of episodes after this, and include a couple ones where Star Trek actors run into each other before they're in Star Trek.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what? Not even quite that far. Just like the best of all Star Trek actors' other work with the most loose interpretation of best possible. Kate Mulgrew's repeat. Three-time appearances on Murder, She Wrote as different characters.
As villain,
that
as
needs to be murderer
and murderee.
That's
no,
not
she think, doesn't get whacked.
I thought she gets whacked in one of them.
I don't think so. She definitely whacks someone, but she doesn't get whacked. And there's three episodes to choose from, so we didn't spoil any of them.
Ooh.
It also happened
unless
in the
you
80s.
Watch two and she hasn't killed anyone yet, in which case, yeah, no. Janeway did it.
Anyway, Raffi, as we said, pissed, decides to go and confront Picard, and he's chilling in a holo suite that is in the that is designed to look like his office back in France, his home.
That was
office.
Such a nice touch. The use of
such
holograms
a nice touch.
On that ship is perfection. It's
well,
so
why
fun.
The hell wouldn't you have stuff like that?
Yeah, it's like, hey, do you miss home? Yeah, well, here it is.
I'm just
oh, shit. Nice.
I'm just glad they don't have annoying looking bedding and things like you have the option on your starship to have something like
oh, that. Like none of the hard triangular pillows and the like tinfoil sheets and
Or the photos with the hologram corners like in
no
general.
Horses only painted horses.
Always weird flowers growing in your like bedhead. That was very odd.
No, that was just Beverly's when...
No, that was legit, like, a ton of them. Most of them had, like, ferns and shit. It looked like the jungle right behind their pillows.
No, that's because that was based on the Hilton suite designs at the time. And that's what, like, high-end Hilton rooms look like.
That's
serious.
Hilarious. That must be a housekeeper's nightmare having to clean that shit up.
Oh, they were always filthy.
Oh, yeah, dusty as shit, yeah.
Well, dusty goes with dusty roads.
No one's watered the plants in about half a year, you know.
They get into an argument, and everyone kind of just slowly makes their way to the suite. At which point, you know, Picard kind of explains, no, we have to go to Vashti because I need the help of some nuns. And everyone goes, what the hell are you talking about? He's like, well, they're assassins, you see. I need the help of assassin nuns because we're going into dangerous territory.
This is where Whoopi should have showed up, you know?
As a Romulan warrior nun?
No, as a nun.
Oh, that would have been
Sister
good.
Sister Act
yeah.
Part 3.
Yeah.
That's true.
We'd Sister Act in space.
Oh, my God. And it gets pointed out to Picard by Raffi that Vashti is actually in a really dangerous part of space that is only protected by these mavericks called the Fenris Rangers. Ooh, ah, foreshadowing. Ooh,
so is Vashti in what used to be the neutral zone then?
I believe so, yeah.
That's kind of what I got, too. Like, it's very non-neutral now. It's more just, like, the Afghanistan of the Alpha Quadrant. It's Or, no, Beta. Beta Quadrant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beta Quadrant.
That's right.
And, yeah, it's kind of like... It's the frontier,
no man's
but, like,
land.
Writ large scary.
Mm-hmm. And it's where all the Fugees from the Romulan Empire ended up, or most of them.
All the Fugees.
All the Fugees. And Wycliffe Shawn.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Of course, because Picard is Picard, he kind of gets his way because he just goes, we're doing it. Never goes, fine. We then skip to Soji watching old footage of the Romulan XB who attacked her, talking about the destroyer and the prophecy, and nothing actually useful gets said. But since this
I don't feel like I'm spoiling
four,
anything that we may or may not have seen, depending
just kind
upon
of like,
whatever
hint,
timeline
hint,
we're
hint,
acknowledging
hint,
actually
hint,
happened. Well, we. Record before we recorded this episode, but a lot of what happens on the cube, I'm not particularly engaged with a lot of it.
It's a little too like little vignette. It doesn't feel like it's a full story yet.
Yeah. This episode in particular just.
I only cared
yes,
about
exactly.
stuff on the.
Well, Hugh's just...
Oh, absolutely. I only cared about stuff on the cube when Hugh was there.
Well, he acts on screen without saying anything. He walks in, and could just stand there, look at that thing, say like two words, uh-huh. and he's speaking volumes.
Yeah, I know. No, he is really good.
He's been
Oh, the guy's a fantastic performer.
Hour.
Where the fuck has he been?
His Instagram photo is him teaching a fitness class.
Well, he looks phenomenal, so it makes sense. Oh, dude, no, like...
I mean, that does make sense.
Out of
Hugh
makeup,
he look
looks
like
my
odd,
age, and he's like
well,
at least
Bill,
15
it's just
years,
like,
if
what
not
the
20
fuck
years
is going on here?
Oh, he's not 20 years older. He's not that old. He's like 15 years older.
So I wonder how.
I don't know. He was.
Well, like I wonder how old
though.
He was
yeah,
when
I think,
played
I feel like
originally.
Yeah, he. I really enjoy that actor a lot, but
yeah, he seemed very young. Anyway, they arrive at Vashti, and Picard beams down alone, and instead of the friendly, wonderful garden-esque. Kind of Renaissance European Naboo looking shit that
we are experiencing
he left
technical
earlier.
Difficulties. Please stand by.
I got it.
No, Mickey's calling us now.
Yeah. I answered it.
No, you didn't. It's still ringing. We're calling her. Give me 1 second. Let's try this again. Oh my god. We crossed calls like 3 times in there.
Oh my god.
Called it.
We're determined to have technical difficulties during this. Speaking of which, while we're doing something we're probably going to edit out anyway, is that... it's plugged in. Good. Alright. We've been having laptop-related technical difficulties as well.
Oh my god.
If you would like to donate to us via Patreon, this would be a good time.
The hamster wheel is no longer working.
Oh, man. We need some new tech around here now that we're all doing this from various parts unknown. But back to parts known. Vashti.
Okay, so, yeah, I'll just rehash that entire thing because I was reading and I didn't notice you guys left until it was like, fuck, it's quiet.
Hey, those two finally shut up for half a second. I'm pretty sure the call disconnected. See, you got Picard your wish from the title of this show. Yes.
Picard arrives back on Vashti, but it is a shithole. Shithole. Run down, unfriendly, and he's walking by people and being like, John True, and they're all like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, it's kind of a racist shithole.
Yeah.
It is. He walks by.
And not even kind of, it's openly a racist shithole with signs.
Oh, yeah. No, he walks by an open air bar that says Romulans only. There's signs around that say no humans.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's glaring at him and scowling, which is like, listen, I can understand being pissed, but this guy did still save your lives.
Yeah, but then he kind of was like, I saved you. Here's your new home. Oh, goodbye. And then, like, just left them there with nothing.
I got
so,
to
like,
go make wine for 10 years.
But, I mean, it's a half-human and half-Romulan planet from the looks of it. It looks like it was supposed to be a Federation colony, too. So they kind of just fucked the dog and abandoned the human populace as much as the Romulans from the looks of it.
Yeah, but it's not like it was SETI Alpha 5. I mean, fuck.
You know you're a dork when.
This is SETI Alpha 6!
Hmm?
Where am I? So he wanders around and everything is kind of tense. For some reason, it breaks that tension by cutting to Narek being annoying.
Yeah, that's what he do.
And he's trying to hit on a Soji, but it also hitting on her is a way of getting information. And he eventually is like, oh, fuck it, I'm going to go for a long bomb. Follow me into the depths of the cube. I'm going to show you a secret Borg cultural ritual.
So many people had such an issue with this upcoming nonsense. It did not bother me at all. It was fine.
It didn't bother me.
It was cute.
It was out of place.
Yeah, it was cute. I thought it was like he was trying to, like, you know, break through her shell kind of thing. So he, like, built it up to be a serious thing and then was like, hee-hee, we're just going to go slip and slide. I was like, that's actually probably the only realistic flirtation device I've seen you employ in trying to make this whole relationship happen. Like, right. Real or not, we know you're whatever, but, like, that one actually looked like it may have worked on her a little bit. And you could understand.
Just, like, it was just too far of a shift from everything else.
In tone, you mean?
I just like the...
It's too Romulan. That's not what
Romulans can have fun too. Look at what's her name in the vineyard. She's hilarious.
But she's
sassy. Remember, he's not
like,
actually having fun.
That's the thing. Yeah,
he's manipulating.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. Is it actually was the first thing that was legitimately like, you know, it seemed like he was actually good at his honey potting as opposed to like, you know, his normal bullshit where he's just like clearly kind of a creepy Romulan agent.
Which is then funny because she immediately, like, they start making out, and then she's like, wait, no, hold on, fuck off.
Yeah, are you sure you're not a Romulan agent? Like, no, I totally am. Did you miss that? At least he's not the most annoying Romulan kicking around. Speaking of, I believe she has a scene coming up.
Ugh. My God, I hate her. Anyway, we will get to that bitch soon.
Mm-hmm.
So Picard manages to convince the nuns to help him, and skulking around is this Legolas-looking motherfucker who keeps giving him weird looks, and Picard's like, wait a minute, it's the child I abandoned!
Space elf,
Space
what
Legolas
are you doing
did
here?
Grow up to be real pretty, let's give him that, like, yeah.
Yeah,
he does
yeah.
look like Space Legolas. He's great. I expected to be so annoyed by this character, and he's a delight.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, I know. He's fantastic.
And on paper, it could have gone so wrong. Like, a character who has absolutely no fucking filter. It's like, and it's like, oh no, he's also, like, got a natural innocence and is honestly delightful.
He's the best straight man person to walk in and just kind of be like, I think this.
He's a pretty good foil for everybody that he meets on that show. But we're getting ahead
of
ourselves.
He really is.
Because he's only just met Picard again.
Aha! And while he's at first like, I don't know, you abandoned me. By the end of it, they agree They agree to partner up and go off to protect Picard because Picard manages to convince them that it's a worthy cause. And by worthy, of course, we mean
it's a fail.
He's going to
fail.
Die.
Yeah, it's a lost
it's
cause.
Fail.
I kind
of apparently
like that,
is the definition of this. Yeah,
I think that's great. Like, yeah. Oh no, we'll only sign on to one type of cause, a lost cause. I'm like, well, if you're gonna, you know, if you need a reason to exist, that's a hilarious one. That's great.
And it's kind of a reason why they're still at Vashti.
Well, I think it's
like,
a confidence
it's a lost
thing.
Cause.
Yeah, it's true. I also think it's a confidence thing. It's like, oh no, we're so fucking kick ass that like, no. Anyone else, if it's not a lost cause, they might be able to win without us. What's the fucking point? But you're a completely lost cause. We'll make you win because we're that fucking awesome. But yeah, we need you to be that far gone before we'll actually show up.
Yeah. So Elnor vanishes to go get his shit. And Picard contacts Rios, and Rios says, "Oh yeah, we'll beam you up. Needs to wait 7 minutes for reasons."
That happens so often in fucking Star Trek. It's like, absolutely, just hold on. Like, we have all the technology of the 24th century at our disposal, but just give it a minute. Wait,
just hold on.
Are we in a new century yet, or is it still 2399 or something now? What is this?
I think this is 2399. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
We'll party like it's 2399. I'm down with this. Now I wish again there was video on this podcast.
He decides to take his 7 minutes to go get a drink in the bar that very clearly says, "Fuck off, human." And he takes the sign that says, "Fuck off, human," and he throws it on the ground, sits his arrogant ass down, and goes, "Wait, ha! Wait,
oh,
ha!"
Oh, steps on
throws
the
Throws it
sign.
On the ground, steps on it, and then goes into order drink. I love how Picard's arrogance is just, it's not even hinted at. They're like, everyone is completely aware of it. Even Picard is self-aware of it and just doesn't care.
Well, he also knows how to use it.
What's that?
Well, not only. Oh, no. Continue and then I'll say.
He just knows how to use his arrogance to get what he wants. Like, he knows
not
how...
only that. This lag. Not only that, the writers know how to use his arrogance, which never existed in Star Trek before. His arrogance was there, but they didn't know how to use it.
Well, they couldn't acknowledge it because everyone in the Federation was so fucking perfect back then. They're all paragons of virtue, and no one's actually a relatable human being. I've raged about this, about how much I like that in Discovery before, and again, they've hit that tone really well here, too. Like, people are much more relatably people in this than they ever were in TNG.
It is really quite refreshing. And not like, oh, they're all corrupted now, so it's like a swing in the other direction. No, it's like really well handled.
Yeah, it's just, no, some people have nuance and layers now. How interesting.
It's a really good shade of gray, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's terrible.
I like that you referenced one of the worst episodes of all time with a really good in there. That was nice.
Oh, my God. Anyway, so Mr. Arrogance gets himself surrounded by a bigoted mob led by an ex-senator who says, "Get me my sword!" Because he's going to stab a bitch.
I like that there's an ex-senator on this bullshit planet, too. It's like, oh, no. Things fell apart so fast and so hard when their star blew up that, like, yeah, an ex-senator is now a ruffian in a no-humans bar. Like, that's great. But also, and there's
really
a bit of this
center.
All through, I mean, there may be a bit of this coming in future episodes, but there's a lot of, I feel like there's a lot of little rando coincidences like that. Like, oh, what of all people in the galaxy, I'm right here, or I happen to have been there for that. Of course, there's a former senator hanging out in this fucking bar. Like, why wouldn't there be?
Right. Well, that's not where the coincidences in this episode end, but we will get to that.
Yes, that's true, and they are not at all broadly hinted at before they get revealed either.
Yeah.
I like that.
Broad.
We'll get to that, and I'll yell about it in a minute, so yeah, I'm going to hold off. I'll do more than enough yelling in a moment.
So Picard's like, you shouldn't fight me, and... Yeah, the senator's all, I'm not gonna fight you, I'm gonna fucking murder you.
What did he expect, by the way?
Right? I don't know. It's the dumbest goddamn shit.
Yeah, no, this is wrong, therefore I will make an arrogant moral stand. Like, okay.
He knew exactly what he was doing.
That might work out well if you know that you're a weekly important appearance character, but you don't know that. Like,
right? It's one thing to do that when you have a Federation starship filled with guns. Mm-hmm. That's like, no, we got your back because you're our captain. You're a rando. Mm-hmm. Some guy, mm-hmm. you know.
You've chartered a plane to, or a starship to a random old scuzz bucket of a planet.
Mm-hmm. You're basically on slightly prettier, wetter Tatooine.
Yeah.
Ew.
In their trailer park.
I take that back. Tatooine is a hole. This place is way better even as shy as it is.
But suddenly, out of nowhere, a voice appears. Friend, choose to live.
Oh, but of course.
That's such a great, great introduction. I love it.
It's a fantastic... Anytime you hear it, it's like... It's the friendliest, nicest thing you can say to someone who you fully intend to murder.
Yeah. As death threats go, very amiable. It's nice.
It's incredible. And of course, he lops the fucker's head off.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's butter.
Bit grotesque, if I gotta say. Like, it's... It's a little gross on, like, the, like it's more than I expected with Star Trek.
That's
and,
what
and
I like,
I think that's important. Like, it matters because
mm-hmm.
we don't see beheadings.
This is going to set up some things, too. It's like this, a lot of these events, most of these events, if not all now at this point in the series, are happening outside the Federation. Like, we have left Galactic Suburbia at this point. Like, we're in Galactic Gary, Indiana now. Like, things are real. Real.
They make their handy escape because this sequence takes 7 minutes. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Once they get on La Serena, Picard gives Elnor.
I keep calling him Elrond.
Elrond.
Space Legolas.
He is a
Space Legolas. I'm really surprised Space Legolas didn't appear anywhere in Scientology.
I'm surprised he didn't appear anywhere in the script. He's clearly Space Legolas. They should have at least mocked him for that. Like, I guess.
Oh,
no
absolutely.
One, yeah, I guess no one has seen the Lord of the Rings trilogy at that era.
Something survived. 1950s cars, music, and serial movies.
Oh, that's true. It's like everything after like smooth jazz was developed. Everything else got obliterated until when everything's calmed down after World War III, IV.
Yeah.
Whatever
that
is.
That's all they had left. Some crappy person put it in their basement and
smooth
forgot
jazz,
about it.
Ferns behind your bed. Yeah.
That's why I kind of really I do enjoy the Kelvin timeline because the insertion of Beastie Boys into it to fill the same hole makes sense to me because like it's old enough that it is old music. The Beastie Boys were making music like 30 fucking years ago.
Mm-hmm.
One of them's dead. There's mm-hmm. never going to be more Beastie Boys. So it is old music. It does reflect like a past, but instead of being like, I'm into jazz, yay, it's like, nah, fuck it. Yeah, let's play Sabotage.
I'm into really old classical music, too. I love the Beastie Boys. Yeah. Like, yeah.
I heard they did a cool concert.
That was great. If only anything else about those movies had been cool.
I like the yelling and the beats.
And the beats.
I like the Sabotage. And,
it's fantastic. That's terrible. Anyway, and they head off to Free Cloud. But not, and the episode almost ends, but first we have to... Oh, wait, no, they didn't head off to Free Cloud.
No, they
were
attacked.
About to head off to Free Cloud.
They have the old Romulan ship. They have, like, the...
Is it a Romulan ship?
Isn't it the Romulan
it is.
Warbird?
Yes.
It's an antique Warbird. So, yeah, Narek... First of all, we go back to the cube. Heirloom Warbird. Narek and Soji have a moment that is mostly like kind of a, you know, Narek looks like an asshole, and Nerissa's there being like, fuck her already.
Look, anytime we accidentally skip over a Nerissa scene recap, I'm super fine with it. Out of a show that is impeccably cast, I hate to blame the actress, but like that character does not grab me at all, so it's either the writing or the actress, and I'd like to blame both.
It's like that shitty popular person in high school where you're just like, I don't care what you're saying ever.
Yeah. Yeah, she's the ultimate Mean Girls too.
Yeah,
she's like Space Regina George without being cool or funny.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I feel that Commodore O and Nerissa could have been combined into one character.
Have we met Commodore O yet?
Yes.
We have. Yes, we did.
Yes, we met her.
Her and Nerissa were both in
Right, we met her in like episode 2. Yes. That's right. Yes.
Yeah, Girardi talks to her. Yeah. But yeah, they should have been combined. That would have made more sense and gotten rid of a lot of waste.
Yeah, and I don't know, her interactions with Narek are weird.
Yeah, no, they're super weird and creepy. And your theory didn't pan out, which is a shame because I wanted that to explain those bad scenes.
Yeah, and instead, nope, they are brother and sister, and they're just weird. Yeah, and they clearly don't like each other, and they clearly don't like the audience because they do not make it easy for us.
God no.
Yeah.
They're in orbit. They're ready to head to Free Cloud, and the local populace, who are a little miffed, contact the local warlord, who has an antique warbird. Now, usually an antique warbird wouldn't be a problem, but La Serena is not a ship that has guns.
Mm-hmm.
It
has some guns, just not much.
It has two tiny guns.
Firepower. Yeah, exactly. It has, like, Enterprise guns from, like, Enterprise.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. But it's also, like, fighting a Winnebago.
Season 1 Enterprise, they have, like, a 57 Magnum in, like, the dashboard, and that's it.
But they're fighting a Winnebago with a cannon taped to it.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah. Excuse me, Spaceballs was amazing.
True.
Barf was my favorite.
Oh, classic.
No, the robot. The vacuum robot.
She's Dot Matrix.
Was that Dot Matrix?
Yep, Joan Rivers.
Yes.
No, you're combining two.
I'm conflating
characters.
Two people, yes. Yeah, yeah, I like the vacuum
robot is the weapon at
yes.
the end.
That was cool. I'm that guy. I like the weapon.
Ha! Anyway, I like the Jewish princess.
Daphne Zuniga from Melrose Place.
She's so good.
That's the information I hold on to. And that's why I'm the success you see today.
There you go. They're getting their asses kicked when suddenly a Fenris Ranger appears. And he is a great shot, but
oh my god,
he
Star Trek has never had more trouble with pronouns than in this scene.
And slices off the wing of the Romulan warbird.
That was pretty cool. That was a lot cooler than the clunky dialogue that made it very clear they were about to beam aboard a female human Borg hybrid.
Gee, I wonder who it could be.
This male rescuer of indeterminate species is beaming aboard. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh, yeah.
But who cares, because it's 7 of 9, and that's great.
It's 7 of 9!
Seven of nine.
She has the best line.
What? Okay, what is it?
I don't
because I can't remember. I know it was good, but...
No, she like...
Picard, you owe me a ship!
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, just gonna come in brash, just being like a badass.
Oh, and he called her by name. He recognized her on site, which I enjoyed, too.
Yeah.
Yes. Because
it makes sense, like...
They would have heard about each other.
Oh, absolutely. The two most famous ex-Borgs in all of Starfleet.
Yeah.
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 They would have had to talk to each other. Absolutely.
Well, this is it. Right now, we don't know if they've ever met before.
No, but it's one of those things where it's like, come on. They totally met at a conference.
But spoiler alert, they haven't.
Yeah.
I know. It super is. It
so it's
is
not
super
quite spoiler-free.
Weird.
There's one tiny spoiler. One completely, like, not plot-important spoiler.
But
somehow they've never met.
No, but
of course they've heard of each other. That did make sense.
I love that she shows up, says hi, claps to the ground. Like, it's just, like, the best entrance because it gives you just enough
Well, it's
to
great
want
because
more.
It's just like, hey, I'm here. Want to know one thing about me? I'm hardcore enough to give you a quip before I pass out after saving your ass. It's like, I like you. I like your style. Yeah. All right?
I've got something
really
to say.
You, but now we're
it also
really
gave
like
us a
you.
Very good hint that Seven has relaxed in a lot of ways since her good old days on Voyager. Like, the posture's a little chiller. She's
also not wearing heels in a onesie.
She uses contractions in her speech. Like, yes, she doesn't talk like she's Data half the time.
Well, I really like that immediately you get the feeling that, like, it's not Seven. It's Annika. Seven is an identity that was forced on her, and she's over it. Annika, she's back to being Annika, and she's found the confidence. It's fantastic.
I still feel like she's a fun hybrid of the two. Like, I think that's kind of best Seven, too. Like, you're never going to be full human. You're way too cool for that. You've got all this Borg knowledge in your head and all this Borg hardware on the outside of your head. Like,
well, like when
it's
she,
a part of who she is.
When she gets tough and starts to need her Borgness, she's Seven. But when she's like, ah, oh, need to calm down, probably goes back to a more Annika thing. Like, I'm I'm just a human.
Well, we'll
with a remote. So, but...
so, the episode ends. What would you, from all of that, and with no prior knowledge of anything to
having
come,
definitely
you know,
not seen
anything.
Every remaining episode of the season.
Not at all. Mm-hmm. What would you make it so?
Ooh. I kind of want to pick... This is going to be too hard because I kind of want to pick something that didn't actually come to fruition, but I don't want to give it away to anyone who's actually playing this in proper order. What might not have happened? You know what? My make it so, I would like to see a little bit of the explanation of just how famous or infamous are ex-Borg, particularly these two, in the Federation and in this particular culture they live in now. Like, obviously, we keep saying obviously that Picard and Seven of Nine have heard of each other, but I mean, like, really, he could have just read about her being a member on Voyager when it returned kind of thing, like, in the news, but...
Yeah, because he only talked to Janeway on the telephone.
Yeah, but it makes way more sense in my head that, of course, they are both famous ex-Borg to us, so of course they should know of each other. I'd like to know more about just how famous they are, just what people think of them and know of them. I guess we saw a bit of that in the super excellent and not at all completely ridiculous finale of Voyager, where... Janeway in the future is getting asked about Seven of Nine in Starfleet Academy, so she's at least, you know, famous enough for students of the future to be asking
to
about.
Know about her,
and that's like another 20 years on, so they should be relatively well known.
Yeah, but that didn't happen.
But I would like to know. Yeah, I would like
that
to know
no longer
what's
happened.
Their what's their place in society. How what do people think of the of these people?
Okay,
that's my make it so. What do you two got?
My make it so would be, I want them to have to go to like a space mechanic shop kind of thing.
Oh, like a refit for their, like, for La Serena after their fight?
And I want to see, like, the Delta Flyer in pieces in the corner.
That, or like, on like a like, shelf, that'd be great.
Or like something, or pick up sold a couple scrap. Of old crappy ships just sitting in a junkyard being like, oh, what's that? Oh, like, do you want that ship? And it will be a really famous one that people are like, oh, yeah, I don't need that. I'm good.
And there's an old, fat, crotchety Tom Paris who's the mechanic.
What do you want?
Balding. Balding.
Balding.
Don't forget.
Super balding.
He's balding.
Yeah.
Finally divorced Bellona.
I was
going to
say, at least one time divorce.
Yeah. Oh, no, no. No, wait. We'll do one better. He divorced her. He died. She cloned him.
Oh,
called
that's
him
great.
Marseille.
That's great.
Yeah, Marseille. And he's just like, I hate my life. Oh, she put a bomb in my neck. I think my make it so would be, I'd like to get some details on, like, is Seven kind of considered a criminal by Starfleet?
Oh, like, maybe all what the Fenris Rangers are. They are vigilantes in a way.
Right, so what happened? She got back to Earth and was just like, oh, you people are geeks.
Yeah,
fuck
we haven't.
This.
Yeah, that would be nice to know what exactly went down when she got back. Like, because, yeah, Seven had a hard time fitting in on a very tiny Starfleet crew. Imagine her fitting in Starfleet with all the knob admirals. Every admiral in Starfleet should be fired repeatedly. Like, I don't think I've ever seen a Starfleet admiral
Picard
actually
was.
Contribute something proper to the story. Or
Picard was fired.
Was he? He wasn't fired.
No, well, he offered his resignation.
Yeah.
He was essentially like, oh, I'm leaving. They're like, yeah, and?
I would like to see one of them contribute something positive, or just all of them resign en masse. Like, the admiralty in Starfleet really gets to play the...
Kirk did.
He resigned?
Kirk... No, no, Kirk was demoted, but
oh,
he
yes.
actually did something.
Yes, exactly. And then he got demoted, of course, because that's how Starfleet operates. If you're in the Admiralty in Starfleet, you have to just sit on your fucking ass and do nothing other than occasionally give really stupid orders.
Or have, yeah, like, no, it's true. Bug in your ear. Literally.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Or
no,
it's true.
Once you reach the Admiralty or a Commodore ship, just fucking kill yourself because you're evil suddenly. You're going to do something evil. It's just going to happen.
Well, the beating drum episode, what's her face? She was a nasty admiral.
Was she an admiral?
She was a retired admiral.
I don't remember.
Satie?
Yeah. I don't remember what she was exactly.
They brought her out of retirement.
But either way, she was a Starfleet bureaucrat, and therefore she was horrible.
Yep.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, it's a really good indictment. Oh, speaking of bureaucrats, there's a joke in one of the Star Trek movies about how the one constant of the universe is the bureaucracy.
Oh, yeah.
And Nimoy was in Moscow because they premiered... Which one is that in? The Search for Spock, I think?
In Moscow, I would... Hold on. No, that's Undiscovered Country, I want to say.
No, I know that's the one that's about, you know, basically about Chernobyl,
He was in Moscow because
they were premiering the movie, and it was, I think, the first one that premiered in the Soviet Union, which makes me think it was Search for Spock. But the line that got the biggest laugh was the one about the only universal constant being the bureaucracy, and apparently Soviet Moscovites thought that was hilarious, and Leonard Nimoy was like, that was just the best fucking moment. Like, that's great that that got the laugh. Yeah.
Well, it's kind of true. Like, everybody makes rules, even shitty and good people.
Yeah, but always there's shitty time wasters at the top, and that's the Admiralty in Starfleet, as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
What a confusing spot to start showing films, though. It's just like...
Yeah, I know.
First Star Trek movie, The Search for Spock. Who the fuck is Spock?
Yeah, and why does this open with a, like, very tiny previously on Star Trek?
And who's this Chekhov? He's cute.
And who did they cast as Savick? Because she is no Kirstie Alley, I can tell you that. Oh, my God.
Oh, poor Savick.
Oh, man.
They were supposed to bring her back for Undiscovered Country, but, like, they just couldn't convince any of the actresses to return, so they had to make it that other bitch.
Is that the one that has Kim Cattrall in it?
That's correct, yeah. So, yes. Yeah, they got Kim Cattrall to play a different character who's the same character. Yeah,
she's, like, the most irritating Vulcan, and that is... Oh, boy.
That's not even Vulcan, I'm sorry. That's...
If you're... Okay, I'm sorry. Vulcans are... They're not all annoying. There are some really cool Vulcans. But by and large, the most annoying people in Star Trek are usually Vulcans. And she's right at the head of the class for
They're
that.
They're a weird-humored group.
Yeah, but she's just, she's got that bland pomposity to her where it's just, she has a superior attitude and yet doesn't use it for anything other than just being boring.
So instead of, like, Sex and the City, she's got the same character but Sex in Space.
No, God, no. That character was funny.
It's more like she's the basis for the characterization of the Vulcan Science Council.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just
she
like,
doesn't believe
just
in time
pricks.
Travel, you're right.
Yeah.
Stupid Vulcan Space Directorate.
Hasn't she watched any Cher concerts? If you could turn back time, you would.
No, because that got obliterated. There's only soft jazz.
Oh, right.
Yeah, only soft
and
jazz.
And one Beastie Boys.
No.
One Beastie Boys MP3.
It's proven that the only things that will last through any nuclear holocaust are Cher and cockroaches.
Why Cher? Oh, cockroaches and Cher. Yeah. This is true. This was proved in a RuPaul musical. I take back my question. Yeah. Cher and cockroaches and Cher.
Only things that are going to last.
Oh my God. Thank you so much for listening to Please Won't You Shut Up, a Star Trek Picard podcast. If you enjoyed it, please like, share, and subscribe. And if you are watching this on YouTube, please ding the thing for more updates.
You can ding the thing by finding us on YouTube at youtube.com/mygenderiscinema.
Don't forget to visit Here You Go Productions on Patreon, where you will find this and other and podcasts and videos, plus much, much more. And please show your support by pledging this as little as $1 a month, and we can keep bringing these awesome shows to you.
You can also pledge more.
You can give us more money. We'll take it. Actually, if you pledge us $100, you get an unopened VHS tape of the episode where Tasha Yar dies.
You don't even want to know what I'll do for a pledge of $100.
Ooh.
Until next time, to absent friends.
Who?
Terrible.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.